I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Shout out to smart people on Twitter who tweet smart things. Kevin just tweeted me and said, not sexy, but one thing about Rob Kelly you should mention, zero fumbles and 246 career touches. Good point.
Coaches love that.
Yeah, I had not considered that. Now, if you go 247 yards on those 246 touches, that doesn't put the Triscuit crackers in my stomach. But if you don't fumble, that's at least one reason why Jay Gruden might like them a whole lot.
Are you allowed to eat Triscuit crackers?
I don't think I am. And I didn't like them before I was allowed to eat them. When I wouldn't have eaten them anyway.
Good cracker with cheese especially.
I think that's a Tommy Boy quote. I don't remember exactly where I got that. That doesn't put the Triscuit crackers in my stomach. Is that from... No, not Thom. Tommy Boy the movie. Thom's pointing at himself like, I didn't say that. Like, no. We're talking about David Spade, Chris
like
Farley.
Ritz?
Classic film.
Can I get you into Ritz?
I love Ritz.
Ritz is
Ritz
the best.
Crackers are the best. Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Nate Davis, USA Today, sat right in front of me at last night's game. So I looked down at him. I said, hey, Nate, what are you doing at 1 o'clock? He said, nothing. I said, can you come on the show? He said, yes. And here he is. Nate, what'd you think of the Redskins last night?
Well, Grant, first of all, it's a treat sitting in front of you and listening to your banter. I think you were the most entertaining aspect of that game last night,
you
and John Keim. But no, you know, actually, I got to say, I came away from that game fairly upbeat on the Redskins. And obviously, the running game, I think, is going to be a bit of a concern for them without Darius Geis. But Alex Smith looked great in that one series. Probably should have been 6-for-6 with the touchdown if his guys could have held on to those two incompletions. But I think the thing I was really impressed with was Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen, you know, showing up on the defensive line there and, you know, really, really giving evidence that this team is certainly not going to rank dead last against run this year, but could have a pretty strong defense. And, you know, every year we see a surprise team in the NFC East that we don't necessarily see coming in the preseason. I think that could be the Redskins in 2018. We'll see.
Nate, should we temper the enthusiasm we see for those young defensive linemen? Or if you're a Redskin fan, should you be overly excited about what you've seen so far through camp and two preseason games?
Well, I'm generally an advocate of tempered enthusiasm in August, since we all let it get a little bit out of control this time of year. But, you know, Jonathan Allen played pretty well last year before the foot injury. So I think we can assume he's going to be a pretty good player. And if Payne is that same kind of guy or close to it, and obviously those guys already have chemistry having played together at Alabama, and, you know, teams can't necessarily focus on, you know, maybe game planning against Jonathan Allen if he emerges as that kind of player, there's no reason not to be optimistic. You know, guys like Smith and Ryan Kerrigan are certainly going to, you know, enjoy feeding off of the havoc. It looks like those guys are going to be able to create up front, and then it just, you know, trickles down to the linebackers and secondary, and it's hard, I think, if you're a Redskins fan, not to be a little excited by what you saw from those starters in two series last night.
I got to clarify, and Nate Davis, Pete Metters, Grant Paulson, you're on the fan, it was Billy Madison, the quote, I didn't get, that doesn't put the Triscuit crackers in my stomach, not Tommy Boy, and with that, we can get back to
I
action.
Love your determination to be correct.
Thank you, had to look that up. Nate, running back-wise, before we move on from the Redskins, this has kind of been our big topic of the last hour or so on the show. What do you think the running back situation is going to look like for the Skins September and then the end of the year? Would you consider calling one of these old guys that's available in free agency who's in his 30s, or would you stick with what they got?
You know, I would consider at least bringing in a guy like, you know, I can't see the downside of at least giving somebody like Adrian Peterson a call and bringing him in and kicking the tires. You know, you kind of know what he is. He's not going to be a guy that's going to help you on third down at this stage of his career. But, you know, even last year, you know, kind of getting parachuting into Arizona for a few games, I want to say he had 300-yard games for those guys before the neck injury. I don't know why you wouldn't look at him, given that what he could give you in a limited role potentially. and pairing him with a guy like Chris Thompson, who's, you know, ideally your third down kind of back. You know, I don't think it ever hurts to kick over every rock and do your due diligence, particularly with a guy like Peterson, who has that track record, and even his age is always in premium shape.
Nate Davis, USA Today, former member of the U.S. Army, joining us here on 106.7 The Fan. Let's go around the league. Nate, obviously the big news of today, Isaiah Wynn, Patriots first-round pick, appears to have a torn Achilles tendon. It's early enough in camp they can make a move here, but how does it impact the Patriots losing their first-round selection?
Well, it doesn't help. I mean, you know, obviously there were some questions about Wynn. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? They were looking at him at both tackle spots. But to me, it's the most worrisome position for the Patriots. I mean, Tom Brady has been protected by Matt Light and Nate Solder, two very solid left tackles, pretty much his entire 17 years as a starter for them. They're going with Trent Brown right now, who they got in the trade at draft time. But this is a guy that played right tackle in San Francisco, and I'm a little skeptical of putting a 6'8", 370-pound guy as your left tackle in front of a 41-year-old quarterback. You know, we'll see how it goes, but that sure seems like ripe for a recipe where a lot of these elite edge rushers can get around a guy like that and potentially exposes Tom Brady to some hazards as a 41-year-old guy that doesn't move all that well.
Same game, same position. Foles goes down with the shoulder injury. Do you think there's enough concern there that he would miss week one? If Wentz can't go, does that mean it's Nate Sudfeld time? How would that play out?
Well, yeah, Nick Foles didn't sound too concerned to me last night after the game. We'll see if that's one of those things that maybe we're blowing a little bit out of proportion right now with still a couple weeks to go before the opener. But if he's banged up and if Carson Wentz cannot answer the bell for week one, I would imagine they will go with Nate Sudfeld. And obviously, Redskins fans are a little familiar with him. Washington drafted him a few years ago. But everything I hear out of Philadelphia is that the front office really likes Nate Sudfeld, and they were more than content for him to be the backup to Nick Foles in the playoffs last year, including the Super Bowl. So I think that right there gives you some indication about how they feel about the guy. But if you're just talking about a Band-Aid for one or 2 weeks, I can't imagine they would go in a different direction at this late stage.
Nate, is there a non-playoff team that so far, at least early here and heading into the season, that has your eye as a team that we should keep an eye on as a legitimate playoff contender coming up here in 2018?
I.e. a non-playoff team from last year?
A non-playoff team, yeah, from last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really curious to see Houston. Certainly, you know, we're all curious to see how Deshaun Watson comes back from the knee injury. But he was a legitimate MVP candidate, you know, for the 6 or 7 weeks he was playing last year. But to get him back, get J.J. Watt back, Whitney Mercilus, you add the Honey Badger to that mix. I mean, that could be a really dangerous team. And, you know, it'll be fun watching them open the season against the Patriots, particularly since the Patriots, you know, were 2-2 coming out of the chute last year. And September is generally the best time to catch those guys on the schedule. But I think Houston is one team. And then I am bullish on the L.A. Chargers. All the talent in the world there. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. Looks like they fixed their kicking issues. Still little issues with the injury bug for that team that they seem to have every year, but I think that team could really do something special.
Nate Davis, USA Today on Grant and Danny. You know who I'm oddly jacked up about that plays tonight is, I don't know why, but I have super intrigue on Pat Mahomes. Maybe it's because Alex Smith was given up on and ended up here in Washington as the Redskins quarterback, but I feel like I'm going to track this way closer than I should. A Chiefs-Falcons tonight at 7 o'clock on one of the nationally televised broadcasts. Your thoughts on Mahomes as a rookie this year and the Chiefs deciding to put all their eggs in his basket?
Yeah, I agree. To me, that's potentially a one step back, two steps forward kind of thing. Maybe this is the one step back year for them. I'm very curious to see Pat Mahomes play as well. But like you said, I mean, he's basically, you know, one NFL start. He's more or less a rookie. You know, I remind people that Aaron Rodgers was 6-10. His first year as a starter, and that was his fourth year in the NFL after sitting behind Brett Favre. But, you know, there's nothing like actually playing games. You know, defenses are obviously going to get game film on him this year, and we're going to see how well does Pat Mahomes adjust to the adjustments, if you will, that defenses will put ahead of him. But, you know, he's got good weapons there, but I just think some inexperience factor for a young guy that's got those gunslinging tendencies. And, oh, by the way, has some issues on a defense and may be put in a position where he has to, you know, carry the load and throw the ball 30 or 35 times a game. To me, that adds up to maybe an eight-day kind of season for the Chiefs. But maybe he gets them through that Super Bowl ceiling down the road. That's where I see that one right now.
Nate, as always, appreciate the visit. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet, Nate. Couple other games that are intriguing tonight we could take a peek at next on Grant and Danny. Remember, at 1:30 today, Tim Settle right here on The Fan. Pete hanging out. I'm Grant. You're listening to G&D. Hey, guys. It's Grant Paulson from my friends at Lindsay Chevy. I got a guy. His name is Paul Smith, and he got me a great deal on a Chevy Cruze. I drive my Cruze all the time. Love my Lindsay Chevy Cruze. Got all the bells and whistles, all the gadgets, favorite car I've ever owned. Right now, you can get Cruzes, Camaros, Malibus, Impalas, Equinoxes. Price low and ready to go. Truck buyers, it's that time. Chevy Truck Month. Record discounts. 800 vehicles to choose from. Most with 0% financing and no payments until the fall. Only my dude, Paul Smith, and the team over at Lindsay Chevy are going to give you up to 130% of Kelley Blue Book for your trades. Why pay more when my team, Paul and Company at Lindsay Chevy, keep you in your new car at payments right at or even lower, perhaps, than what you've been paying previously. Take it from me. You will love it at Lindsay. You've got to find new roads. Again, 800 vehicles to choose from. Plenty of options for you. Go check them out. Find new roads. LindsayChevy.com. Tim Settle's on the show in a little over 10 minutes. We're Grant and Danny. Pete is in for Daniel, whose vacation continues. He is at the beach, probably eating something delicious, sitting right now in the sand. Wonder how many books he read
Wasn't
this week.
Last year on vacation, didn't he gain 11 pounds, I think it was?
Might have been more than that, honestly. I'm sure
that'll be a big question coming up on Monday here on the big show.
Yeah, how much weight did Danny gain on his vacation? Now, the good news is with EMP 180 weight loss, we get right back on the train. Mm-hmm. And he'll lose that weight immediately, and he'll get right back to his weight. But,
well,
yeah.
Maybe it's changed completely because it is a lifestyle change.
That's a good point. So perhaps Danny didn't gain anything. He might have gone to the beach and just stayed on the program on vacation.
God bless him if he can.
Yeah, so we'll see how he fared. I want to know what books he was reading because that's his normal go-to is he reads, like, two books, then he comes back, and he has to tell us all about them, and we have to be interested in them.
We should also ask him to read some of his tweets from his vacation.
Yeah, you've been trying to get him to engage on Twitter quite a bit, Tom. How's that going so far? How's that quest of tweets to Danny Ruye going at this point?
It's the Twitter version of falling on deaf ears. He completely ignores me. I've been using the hashtag, please respond to my tweets. I asked him who his player to watch last night was. You know, what's your key to the game? Trying to get him involved with the Redskins. Nothing.
Not taking the bait. What about asking him about the Nats bullpen or their season going up in smoke? That might be a good way to get him to come out from hiding.
Maybe that'll be my tweet for today. I'll ask him about Coda Glover.
There you go. Do you think if Coda Glover told Dan Colco last night on Masson he's back, baby, despite the fact that he blew a save two appearances ago and gave up two base runners last night in a one-run game? Do you think Coda Glover's actually back, baby? Maybe ask him that.
Yeah, hashtag please respond to my tweet. You can also, if you're listening, send him a tweet at FunnyDanny as well.
You could, at Funny Danny. Maybe just flood Danny's Twitter account and ask him a question about DC sports. Now, here's the thing. If you're on vacation and you're completely unplugged, which he probably is, I'm guessing, right? Is he seeing your tweets? Because I have a thing, I'm pretty sure Danny does as well, where, like, if I follow you and you tweet me, it normally shows up as a text message to me. So if you tweeted me right now, Tom, I would get a text that says, like, at Tom Daly 2 with the comment that you made from a number that is Twitter as a contact on my phone. I would think Danny has that same thing set up.
I think that's your notifications. I think you have it set up that way. But also, it could be the fact that you guys are verified and I'm not. And I know Danny is very selective with his mentions and he likes to mute a lot of words. So maybe he's not seeing them at all.
I have to imagine he's seeing you.
No, I think Tom brought up the key point when he said mute. I think he muted Tom last week, and I don't think he's going to unmute him until he gets back.
That's also quite possible, that all of us could be muted on his vacation.
It's 100% what happened.
It's quite possible. He texted me one time. I'm trying to remember what it was about. It was something that I care a lot about that he was making fun of. Oh, he texted me like Tuesday night or Wednesday night. and he's like, "You're screwed." And it was a link to MoviePass going up in smoke. And that was, I responded to him with a question that didn't get answered. And so that was literally the only thing I've heard
from
him. Was
it, do you remember when we did that on our double play 3 weeks ago?
Yes. Also, that was a factor on the show, but this is a newer update more recently that is now even worse than the last one. But yeah, so he had enough time, I guess. He was probably in the bathroom or something. But he like saw the link, he sent it to me, but he did not respond to my subsequent question. By the way, I know that you guys are pretty upset as I am about this development on the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns' name, right, Tom?
Yeah, not Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick. The other quarterback who used to play for Virginia Tech and the Ravens, the first name is spelled T-Y-R-O-D. How do we say that?
Tyrod.
Tyrod Taylor, right, Pete?
It's what it's been in his career at Virginia Tech and, of course, in the National Football League.
It's Tyrod. Tyrod Taylor. Who knew? I believe Joel Bitonio, who's an offensive lineman on the Browns, is the guy that broke this news this week, who came out, and I think his comment was something like, "Listen, guys," now what am I supposed to call him? I'm going to keep calling him Tyrod, I guess. Tyrod Taylor is too nice to correct everyone, but his name is actually Tyrod. So we call him Tyrod correctly, and you guys should too. And his dad, who you saw in Hard Knocks, dapping him up, giving him a hug, I guess confirmed that his name was Tyrod. Now, Tyrod Taylor has actually told people he doesn't care at all, and he goes by both. Isn't your name one or the other? Like, someone said, how do you pronounce your name? And he's like, oh, it doesn't matter, Tyrod. It should be one of the two, and it sounds like it's Tyrod, not Tyrod.
There was once a quarterback named Joe Theismann who changed his name, thanks to the SID at Notre Dame, to Joe Theismann to promote him for the Heisman, and it worked out for Joe. Perhaps a change of pronunciation will work out for Tyrod going forward.
But what does Tyrod rhyme with? Tyrod, is there
Tyrod?
Am I missing an award for NFL quarterbacks called the LaRod Award, where you're the best quarterback in the league? What is the marketing push here? By the way, is that story 1,000% true about Theismann?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Because I've heard that many times, and I've always just dismissed it, to be honest with you, as
I think it's pretty legendary. Every time I go out to Notre Dame, people still talk about that today.
We should ask him about that next time he's on. Remember, remind me.
SID Roger Valdeseri at the time at Notre Dame said, hey, you should change your
name.
How
do you know who the SID was at the time?
Grant, you know I'm the person who knows all pieces of useless sports information.
I mean, even by Pete on sports.
Especially
standards.
College sports. College sports, man. I'm your guy.
This is the most Pete thing ever.
Yeah, Pete on sports standards still shattered right now by, what is his name?
Roger Valdeseri.
How long,
long
was he
time,
the AD
long
there?
Time AD or SID at Notre Dame.
What's he doing now?
I don't know. He might be dead. I don't
Six
know.
Feet under, probably.
Who's the AD at Notre Dame now?
Well, let's see. John got promoted to, like, this big communications position. I can't remember the guy's name right off the bat, but he's good. They do a great job at Notre Dame. They're fantastic. It's one of the best stadiums for me to go broadcast a game at.
You know what we didn't do this week, by the way? We have time, maybe at 1:45. Should we do – Pete, you've got to be up for this. Like just like a wacky Quiz Pete bit at 1:45.
Stump Pete.
Yeah.
I had the same idea. Why have we never done this? We have callers call in. No prizes, of course. But call in. Try to stump Pete on useless sports information.
This is kind of like dumb stuff.
This is kind of like the Ask Pete Medhurst quiz that Joe Miller and I do on our podcast about college football, where we talk about obscure topics, music, all that other stuff. I'm game. We can try it. I'll probably go 0-5. But
all right,
if we get five calls.
We should close out our week with Pete in the saddle at 1:45 with a little stump Pete. But let's have some ramifications we draw up really quick. Because I don't want, there's nothing more boring than a game or worse radio, frankly, than if you guys are just calling up with a bunch of random questions about teams no one's heard of. So, how should we do this, Pete? What's your wheelhouse? What should we, I'm thinking coaches and GMs.
People.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Pete's very plugged in on sports people.
Help me out here. What do you think would be good categories for this, Pete?
I don't know, football, basketball, baseball.
I like the idea of a caller calling in and saying, what does this person do? And then you say the name, and then Pete has to tell you what his job is
okay.
In sports.
I like that. I would also, you know what I think would be good, and maybe I could pull some of these up for Stump Pete as well. I think. Who is the coach at is a great game. And so then I would just rip off I don't know. Northern Colorado football. And then Pete has to answer that question, right? Something like that. So at 145, we'll play Stump Pete.
Northern Colorado, by the way, holds a special place in my heart because my son had a career-high 30 points against Northern Colorado in his college basketball career.
Do we know who the football coach is there?
No idea.
All right. So you'd be 0-1.
They call him coach.
They do call him coach. We can play the game at 145. Tim Settle, speaking of Tyrod Taylor, went to Virginia Tech. He'll be next on Grant and Danny. Pete is in for Danny on the bench.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The single most impressive young Redskin this preseason through two games, without question, has been Tim Settle, fifth-round pick out of Virginia Tech. Picked up where he left off last night at an amazing first game and then a really nice first drive against the Jets and a strong performance last evening. Asked him about carrying over his impressive play in the locker room.
You know, as far as pass rush, I feel like I got a little better. You know, as far as point of attack, I just need to do better at finishing. You know, I feel like I could have finished a couple more plays. I feel like I could have finished a couple plays that, you know, I didn't finish smart. You know, I'm going to go ahead and look at this film and just learn from it.
Are you a tough critic on yourself? Because I think most people would watch the game you had last week or what you did tonight, and they'd come away and go, whoa, that's impressive. Are you the kind of guy that always finds a reason to knock yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I always think that, you know, it's not good enough. You know, definitely can play way better. You know, I'm still trying to find that rhythm, though.
I always look at, you know, the college numbers of impact plays, and you had 19 and a half tackles for loss. You mentioned pass rush. Do you view yourself more as kind of that space-eating run stuffer or a guy who can kind of collapse the pocket and get up the field?
I feel like I'm both. You know, as far as holding the point and just getting up the field, trying to close the pocket, you know, as far as body lean and just being low, I feel like I'm good in that area. You know, just got to clean up some technique, and I feel like Coach Jim Tom is doing that. And just the more we keep practicing and stuff like that, the better I'm going to get.
Before you played your first snap this preseason, did you already know pretty confidently that you could play at this kind of level in the NFL? Or were you more confident at coming out of last week because you proved it to yourself? Did you need to have that game to say, okay, I belong up here?
I just needed to get a feel for it. Just seeing how the speed of the game and just seeing how everything is, and, you know, just look at it as far as I could do this. You know, it's self-confidence, and, you know, I was happy. I was happy with myself and how I performed.
Lastly, you got one more dress rehearsal. You're one of the guys maybe that's going to have to play in that fourth preseason game, but you're getting close to the real thing. You ready to get this thing started and play in a real-life NFL game?
Yeah, it's about that time. You know, I feel like these preseason games have been good as far as preparation, but, you know, we're working to do something great. And I feel like that our time's coming.
Tim Settle in the locker room last night, I really liked, though. Wasn't even asking the question. I was saying, hey, you're probably going to have to play in that fourth game. And he heard him say, that's fine. He just wants to go out and play football and try to keep showing that he's worthy of a roster spot. He's got nothing to be concerned about right now. He's a lock to make this roster. The question is he going to work his way into some major playing time early this season?
Like the approach that you hear from him, from a guy like Cam Sims. Love the way that they're not taking anything for granted right now, still willing to do anything they can to make the ball club. Look, I mean, Settle's going to get, I think, plenty of rotation time behind Allen and Payne. I don't think there's any question right now. If you gave Jim Tom Sula, just here, smile at me if you like these guys. And as you say that, his smile just broadens with each guy. You would love to coach the kind of talent he's got, at least for a three-man rotation, if not four to five deep potentially right now with those defensive linemen.
You mentioned Jim Tom Sula. I think he's a big part of this defensive line
explosion
of young talent. Look, I get that When you draft Jonathan Allen, I don't know how much coaching it would take to see pretty quickly that he's good. Same with Daron Payne. But Matt Ioannidis last year got way better really fast. Why? Tim Settle was a fifth-round pick for a reason. I remember texting some people who know a lot about Virginia Tech football who said, I'm just not sure. It's a work ethic thing. He doesn't have a great body. Kind of ate his way to a position where they weren't as happy with him at Virginia Tech. And all these knocks and things. You've heard nothing but great things. You heard him talking about working hard with Tom Sula. I know that in that building, the higher-ups have utmost confidence that when they go get groceries and they hand them to that guy, they're getting good meals back. Danny and I love joking about Jim Tom Sula, and we play all the clips and the sound of him not being able to put together sentences when he was the head coach of the 49ers. And he probably had no business ever being hired as a head coach. But as a defensive line coach, if you put together a short list of the best in the National Football League, he's one of them. This is something you got to give Bruce Allen credit for, Jay Gruden credit for as well. They spend on really good assistants. We mentioned Bill Callahan, ton of money on him. Didn't let him leave Sean McVay's staff. Defensive line coach, Jim Tom Sula, brought him back. Buddies with Greg Minuski, who he's boys with. Kirk Alavadati, those guys are all kind of tight. Jay Gruden, though, he's got a former head coach on his defensive line who, as a guy who was on a warm seat when he was hired, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. You know, he is routinely, whether it's Jim Haslett, Raheem Morris, he's had former NFL head coaches on his staff time and time and time again, and he's given more responsibility to rising stars like McVay. I think he's comfortable in his own skin, and that helps a lot.
So many things going into administrating an entire football team the way the head coach has. Some guys deliver it. Some guys don't. Some guys are hampered by a front office that doesn't necessarily give you great groceries to consume. Sometimes you get the generic brand. Sometimes you get the brand name. I think a part of that is what happened to him in San Francisco as a head coach. But then there are guys we see in the profession and in all sports. We see guys that are great pitching coaches, not necessarily great managers, but they specialize in managing 12 guys in that pitching staff greatly. Same thing with football. You see guys that are just gifted to coach a particular position, and in a meeting room, they are fantastic, and doing it out on the field, they are great at explaining technique and getting their guys to play for them. Jim Tom Sula strikes me as one of those guys that I'm not sure there's probably a guy, Grant, or along the way that has played for him that wouldn't say glowing and great things about how he has helped them become a much better player who has played under him.
Think about it. What defensive lineman has gotten worse or disappointed or flopped of the young guys he's working with? Like, Terrell McClain stunk, and they got rid of
him. But he was not a Jim Tom Sula product. He was already what you would think a finished product.
That's my
when
point.
He got here.
He's the only guy that you would say has been, quote-unquote, disappointing.
Everybody else has been productive that he has coached here in some capacity.
The puppies?
At that position.
Like, forget trying to teach old dogs new tricks. The puppies that they have brought into this home that he is trained, so to speak, they're all better than they were supposed to have been and or really, really good in the case of John Allen and Payne, who were first-rounders. By the way, if you're going to the Nats game today, they're giving out Hawaiian T-shirts to the first 20,000 fans into the stadium, presented by Masson. We just got one here in studio. It looks pretty cool, actually. So if you're going to the game, that's pretty exciting. There's a Michael A. Taylor figurine that they're giving out tomorrow on Saturday to the first 10,000 fans into the stadium, which is awesome. Looks like a bigger bobblehead, basically. And then they got a kids' nightlight on Sunday. So giveaways all 3 days this weekend. First 10,000 fans in get the kids' nightlight that are 12 and under. That's presented by Harris Teeter. So some cool giveaways over at Nationals Park. Speaking of baseball, Jose Urania hit Ronald Acuna. We talked about this on the show a bunch yesterday. This is a huge national story still. You saw the suspension come down for Urania of the Marlins yesterday?
Terrible.
6 games.
How? Misses one start, maybe?
And misses is in air quotes. You push him back one day is
right,
basically
sure,
all that happens.
Exactly.
He doesn't miss anything. So instead of starting on his next scheduled start, let's say Sunday, he pitches on Tuesday. He just gets to rest his arm a little bit and feel fresher. Baseball continues to drop the ball on this. That suspension was a joke. And the reason that players like Jose Urania can do what he did and hit people on purpose is because no one in Major League Baseball has done what they have to do yet and actually send the correct message that we are not going to tolerate the nonsense of yesteryear where you purposefully hit players with 97-mile-an-hour fastballs.
I would only like to have a clarification just for aesthetic purposes. if there's something in the Major League Baseball Players Association that keeps Major League Baseball from administering a longer suspension in this case. Because if there's nothing blocking that, I don't see why you didn't suspend this guy for much longer. Because what happens is you're telling guys on other teams that this is virtually okay, especially if you're a team that's on a contention like the Marlins. If you feel some dude hot-dogged against you, you can basically next day plunk him if you want. Or next inning, plunk him if you want.
So we played the clip yesterday of Keith Hernandez, who was wrong and embarrassed himself talking about how it's okay to hit guys who are hitting home runs against you. Thank goodness for managers like Joe Maddon of the Chicago Cubs, a World Series champion who's a forethinker. This is why baseball's in good hands moving forward. This was Maddon talking about Urania hitting Acuna.
Why did he hit the guy? Because he's playing good baseball? Did he do anything intentionally to hurt you or harm you other than playing the game properly? Did he show you up by hitting a home run? There's a Neanderthal part of our game that has to go away. Okay, it's not necessary anymore. It never was necessary in the beginning, but now, even with greater scrutiny, it's even more necessary for it to go away. When you've been raised by wolves, you become a wolf. I don't want my guys to be raised by wolves. So I've talked about this before. This is nothing new. The guys that have been here before have heard me. So it's a bad method.
I love that from Joe Maddon. Man, what a quote. And I couldn't agree with him more. It is a Neanderthal, ridiculous, antiquated behavior.
And Joe's been a guy that's been around for a long time. Yeah. Right? You go back and look at his resume through the years when he's a long-time coach with the Angels.
Years.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that's been around for a long time. It's not like this is a young up-and-coming manager saying something like this. This is a guy that's seen everything and has been through all of the battles for years.
All right, so we got about 18 minutes left for the week. So here's what we're going to do. We got to get you to breaking news because just now, hot off the presses, some news on the Redskins running back situation and an injury update. So we'll have to break that down next. But if you want to hop in and try to stump Pete Medhurst next, we want some calls, a fun little game we'll play at 800-636-1067. Let's go straight over to the update desk where anchor Nick Ashew, who's a good-looking guy, awaits. Brant and Danny on the fan. We got to react to the Byron Marshall news in a moment. Squeeze in a quick call trying to stump Pete. Brad is in Arlington. Pete's in for Danny this week, so we're celebrating Pete's week. It's our final segment with Pete, seeing if you can stump him. Pete on sports knows all kinds of wacky things about the games we love. Brad, you've got a question for Pete.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Pete. All right. Brad, your category is college basketball. Who is Chase Feeler?
Chase Feeler. Who is that?
Never heard of him.
Pete, you're 0 for 1.
I told you I'd go 0 for 5.
Brad, who is he?
He was the Duncan Phenom for Florida Gulf Coast University who knocked out the second seed Georgetown Hoyas in 2012.
Yeah.
Ah.
Should have known that. I was too pissed off watching the game to care about who was playing for FGCU. Andy Enfield, by the way, has parlayed that job at FGCU into a nice job out of USC now.
Is he the head coach at USC?
He's the head coach at USC. Huh. He was the head coach of that Florida Gulf Coast team.
By the way, currently, because I just Googled this, Feeler, who's now 26, is the power forward for BC Oostende of the Belgian Basketball League.
Probably making a few shekels.
Probably makes a coin or two. Steve is in Arizona. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Pete, who is the Calgary Flames head coach, and who is their big name free agency splash?
Now I'm not gonna say you don't know their head coach. Pete on hockey is not your strength.
I'm not gonna go. I wouldn't know that.
No. Bill Peters. Well, who's their big name free agency splash this summer?
Troy Brower, who underachieved and they want to let go, basically, isn't it?
No, that would be James Neal of the Western Conference champion. Vegas Golden Knights.
That's true, too.
Had a heck of a year with
Vegas. Didn't they have a problem with Brower? Brower got good money from them, and he kind of underachieved, and they're trying to figure out a way to get out of that?
Yeah, they gave him a bad contract. It was $4.5 million for two seasons, and they put him on unconditional waivers and bought him out. So, yeah.
Pete, why don't you mark out for hockey like you do for the WNBA?
I mark out specifically for the Capitals.
Right.
And teams that they interact with quite a bit.
What team in the WNBA is leading the Eastern Conference?
Atlanta Dream.
That is correct. What team is leading the Western Conference?
Oh, boy. Probably L.A. Sparks because Minnesota's underachieved a little bit this year.
The Seattle Storm.
Seattle Storm, yeah.
All right, name three players on the Atlanta Dream, Pete.
I can tell you their coach is Nikki Bello, but that's about it.
Nikki Bello, that's a good pull. Have you heard of Elizabeth Williams?
Yeah, she was a good college player.
Do you know where she went?
No, but I know she was a good college player.
Okay. Let's see. How about Renee Montgomery? Had a 30-point game the other night.
Good player.
Yeah? I got no file on any of these people. Pete on sports, boys and girls. All right. Byron Marshall, before we get out of here. 2 to 4 week injury. We were just saying this. I said, well, there goes that conversation about is it him? Is it Bibbs? How are you going to do this?
This stuff, strangely enough, Grant, always finds a way to work itself out. And in football, more often than not, it's because of injury.
Yeah. And the Redskins won't have to worry. So now you know your running backs are going to be Kelly and P. Ryan and Bibbs and Thompson. Byron Marshall will probably not be available at the start of the season. Now, what do you do with him, I guess, is the question. You can't put him on the 53-man if he's out for the first 2 weeks.
You can only designate one guy to return that you put on IR, correct?
You're not going to waste that on a fifth running back.
So,
can you IR him until next year? I mean, that has happened many times over before. I don't know.
If the injury looks like it's going to be closer to four, if not more, because not only would he be out that long, but then you need time for him to rehab and get back and really be effective. So you're probably talking closer to 3 to 6 minimum at that point before he can become an effective football player for you.
We had Tim Settle on the show at 1:30. If you missed that interview, grab the podcast, thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Matter of fact, we also had Cam Sims, who was the hero last night, and Monte Nicholson on the show today as well. That's all going to be available for you podcasted at grantanddanny.com. Other than Tim Settle, if I'm making a list of the guys that impressed me the most so far in the preseason after two games, because Settle's my number one guy, Sims is the answer from last night. I would think my number two guy is Danny Johnson, the cornerback from Southern, who last night, I know he only made one play, but it was all I needed to see. It was a trifecta. The Gordie Howe hat trick is when you score a goal, get an assist, and get into a fight in hockey. The Danny Johnson hat trick last night was stopping a guy short of the sticks on a third down, forcing a fumble and recovering a fumble all at the same time. And it was the quickest whistle in the history of the world. It should have been a lost fumble, and the Redskins should have gotten the ball. And in the regular season, I'm sure of it, that it would have been. So you could say, well, he was pretty quiet last night other than that one play. Oh, that one play where he made a tackle short of the sticks, forced and recovered a fumble. And then the first game, you can make the case he was the best standout of anybody on the defense in the second half of the game.
I would agree with that, and I also like the bounce back from Trey Quinn last night, considering he had his spleen probably nearly ruptured last week. The thing about his punt returns last night, Grant, a couple of them, he just catches the ball and gets upfield. There's no dancing. There's no prancing. It's just catch the ball and get upfield, and he knows he's in a battle now. I think he's recognized him and Cam Sims. This is what I like about both of them. Grant, they've recognized they're in a position battle, and they know they're in a position battle with a veteran guy like a Brian Quick, who has, by all accounts, our Craig Hoffman, who reports all the time, has reported that Quick has played well in training camp practices and things of that nature. So it's not as if Quick is playing badly. These two are recognizing they're in a battle, and they are doing positive things all the time here that I think are going to make it very, very difficult for the Redskins to make a decision at the end of camp here.
Pete, what do you got going on this weekend?
Handling weigh-ins for youth league football tomorrow in Anne Arundel County, and then I basically have the weekend to myself because those weekends to myself are dwindling down. Once September 1 comes, it's busy times for Pedro until May.
I got an appearance tomorrow. Guys, come out and see me if you'd like. I'll be at T-Mobile, Pentagon City, with Michael Taylor. I'm there 11 to 1. I believe he's there from noon to 1. Speaking of Michael Taylor, I'm going to the Nats game on Sunday, which is going to be.
Are you
going to
wear your Hawaiian shirt?
I won't. This Hawaiian shirt's going to the wife. This is a medium, so she's going to have to wear that one.
Yeah.
Your boys, as well.
You've dropped a lot of weight, but even a medium might be a bit ambitious.
It's going to be a bit snug. Tonight, weird bit, I'm going out on a boat for a buddy's birthday party where we're going to have dinner on a boat somewhere on the Potomac River. I don't know how this is all working, but I'm supposed to dress themed.
Is it the Odyssey?
I know nothing.
Is it like a dinner boat or someone's personal boat?
No, this is like some kind of a tour boat you can rent if you have a lot of money, I guess, which I don't, but somebody does. So So there's going to be dinner on this boat. We're all supposed to dress, all of us, all the friends from various places around the globe, heritages. We're supposed to, like, dress up like our culture. So I guess I'm going to wear red, white, and blue. I have no file on this. So I'm going to eat something delicious and be on a boat from 8 to midnight.
Wear your Sandlot shirt.
You know what? That's a great idea. Because what's more American than baseball in the Sandlot?
Have you told them ahead of time you need chicken?
I haven't. I'll figure something out. They're paying for a nice dinner. They don't need to worry about your boy. Pete, it was fun hanging out with you this week, buddy.
Hey, man. Loved it.
Good time. We'll do it again soon.
After waking up really early on Monday.
I'll see you when I get in here. It'll be like hour four for you.
Exactly.
Dar, Thami, well done. Enjoy your weekend. For Pete, I'm Grant, saying so long. Chad News versus the World is two. Danny back in the saddle on Monday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.